Welcome into the Believe in Royals podcast. I'm Alex Hughes. There's Danner. It's great to be back with all of you. Danner, walk us through what has the last few games been like for you as a fan?
As a fan, it's been tough to watch. I'll be honest. I love the Royals. I will never step away from my fandom. I will continue to root for them until we are mathematically eliminated. I will always believe that we have the chance to make the playoffs. Because as I've said a million times, and I'll say a million times more, baseball is wonky. Crazy things happen. But it's been tough to watch lately because I feel like the level of play isn't what we're used to or what we should expect. But at the same time, all the breaks are not going our way. Every chance we have to take advantage of a mistake from another team or to take advantage of an opportunity just isn't happening. And if you look back to those, you know, I'm going to talk about the 2014 and 2015 teams until I die, because those were some of the most amazing times I've had as a baseball fan.
Right.
If you look at those teams, it seems like everything went our way. Every bounce of the ball, every opportunity, every mistake a team made, we capitalized on. And over the past week, I just haven't seen that, unfortunately.
On the broadcast last night, they threw this stat out there early in the game. It's probably a little different now, but probably the same ballpark. 62.2% is their strike rating, and that's the lowest in the American League for pitching. So I think that's been the biggest issue. But then you say, okay, well, it's the pitching that's the issue. But then you look at the offensive numbers. 2 for 38 with runners in scoring position their last 38 at-bats with runners in scoring position. So it's like you look at the pitching and you look at guys not being able to go to the distance or struggle to get through the first inning without giving up at least one run. But then you look at the offense and they haven't been picking up the slack either. So it's right where we were in that 11-game losing streak to where at the end of it, like in the beginning, you can always point fingers. It's easy to do so. But now, like, it's sort of just the whole team, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where you look at, okay, the offense is really killing it, but we're struggling in the bullpen. Or pitching is lights out, but we're not scoring runs. But now I think it's a combination of factors. It's tough to out-hit a team 14-12, but lose 10-3. I think that's an achievement of sorts, and not a great one, but yeah, it's been tough, man. And I think what I'm seeing, and you know, it's so funny. This is a baseball podcast, so what we're going to do is second guess players and managers. That's part of it, I suppose. What I'm seeing happen is, I think everyone's just trying really hard right now, and it doesn't look like they're having fun. And I've had rough days at work, and I'm sure, you know, somebody could watch video replay of me having a rough day and think, oh, Danner's not smiling. He's not having fun. He doesn't look like a winner. But that's part of it, man. There are times where, you know, you look in the dugout or they show guys in the bullpen, or you look at the facial expressions of the guys, and yeah, we might be down by 4 or 5 runs, but there still seems to be that drive and that fire. And I'm just not seeing it this week, unfortunately.
Hey, I mean, it's been a long stretch for the Royals. I think they play like 14 games in 15 days or something crazy like that. They've been on the different road trips too. So, I mean, it is a grind. And I was thinking this morning, it's like, it's only mid-June. And we still have the rest of June, all of July, all of August, all of September. And there's like 3 or 4 games in October. So we are remotely close to the end of the season. Not even remotely, almost, I think we're just nearing the halfway mark, the All-Star game, mid-July, so about 4 weeks away from that. By the way, voting has started, so be sure to vote for some Kansas City Royals. I think the most surprising, I don't want to sidetrack, we'll get back to the All-Star game in a little bit, but I was listening to Whit Merrifield on the Cody and Gold show yesterday, and what they asked Whit about, he fouled off a pitch on his foot a few days ago. Did you remember this?
Yep.
Did you listen to this interview? Did you hear it?
I listened to the interview. No, I remember watching. He took quite a while to get back in the box there.
Mm-hmm. So they asked him, because everyone that doesn't know, Whit Merrifield hasn't missed a game in almost 400 games. So he's the latest player. I mean, I think he's the longest active streak without missing a game in the major leagues.
Yes.
So they asked him, they said, you know, how's a foot feeling first? And second was, was there ever any doubt that you might not be able to play? And he said, honestly, yes. He said that both of his feet are black and blue. This was a few days ago. And he did not think he was going to be able to play in one of the games in Oakland. And so, you know, people are saying, well, Whit Merrifield is struggling right now, but Whit Merrifield is struggling to walk.
And he's beat up.
He's beat up. And it's just without the days off that, I mean, Whit doesn't take days off. And I don't think he will unless he's forced to be placed on the injured list. And he says he's doing much better now after treatment and all that stuff. Now we're back home, but the Royals don't have another off day until, I believe, next week. They still have a lot of games this week and then another series coming up. I don't believe so. I don't know. They might have an off day on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday's our next off day. Okay. Yep, Thursday and Monday. But then it's all games solid through then. A big road trip coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, their last off day was June 2nd. June 2nd.
Long time ago, man.
I mean, that's almost 3 weeks without an off day.
I think another thing that we don't talk about with baseball is it's hot right now, dude. It's really hot. It's really humid in Kansas City. And I know that affects the way the ball travels, but it's hard in my job, getting in and out of my car, going into bars, selling beer. It's hard getting back into my car. It's hard going back outside. I'm not enjoying it. When I'm off, I'm sitting inside soaking up the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So like, that's another thing to think about. We got guys that are beat up. We got guys that are tired. The team's scuffling a little bit and it's hot and humid, man. Like, mm-hmm. Like I said, I just don't think anybody's having fun right now.
Mm-hmm. And there has to be players that step up. Andrew Benintendi now on the injury list with a cracked mm-hmm. rib. I don't know how long that takes to heal, but I would assume that it's not just going to be a 10-day stint. I think it is going to take some time to get back and get his strength back, right?
I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what you do for a cracked rib, but you just treat pain and try to minimize, right. You know, movement and activity, right?
Yeah, I think so. I forget who there was. I believe almost Bellinger had something similar to that last year, wasn't it? Or someone had a cracked rib. Maybe Aaron Judge. Well, I think Aaron Judge, what he had, he got a cracked rib and then a collapsed lung on top of it due to the cracked rib. And Judge missed, I think, almost 4 weeks at some time. Now, that was a different injury with the collapsed lung, but it depends because you can't do any surgery for a cracked rib. It just has to heal on its own. So I think rough. It's just going to be based on how fast he heals.
Well, if you look at, you know, not only Benintendi being hurt, but Alberto Mondesi is still out. Mm-hmm. We still have Danny Duffy out. Mm-hmm. Both those guys are on, you know, 10-day retroactive, but I've not heard much about anything of those guys coming back. Alec Lewis of The Athletic is saying that Danny's throwing again, which is good. And then Alberto Mondesi made the road trip to Oakland, but did not play. Did you see the reasoning why he didn't play? They talked about cabin pressure and time zones. And I don't know, man. I I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what that affects, but I thought it was interesting that he made the trip and it was available, but didn't play.
Right. I saw that. And I mean, I can see it, right? Like the time zone thing doesn't make sense to me because it's only 2 hours. So like, it's not like you're going East Coast to West Coast. And it's not like Modesty is a rookie.
Right.
Like, he's dealt with time zones before. I mean, Arizona is also 2 hours. So when you're at spring training and you go to Kansas City, it's a 2 hour difference. Like I don't know where he lives in the off season, but let's say he lives in Arizona. Well, that's a time zone difference. So the games play relatively at the same time every single day. So the time zone thing doesn't really make sense to me. The cabin pressure, I guess, right? Then the argument to be, well, then why do injured players go on road trips?
Right.
That's just my question, right? Like if Danny Duffy made the road trip, so like the cabin pressure, like why did he? If it hurts.
I think his fans were also like, I try to be the eternal optimist and, you know, like, again, I'm still just so happy we have a full season of baseball. I'm happy I get to go to the K. But I would say that Royals Twitter is getting a little feisty. And that was one of the things that they seized on. And it seems like at this point in the season, with the way things are going, we're, 30 and 35, on pace to win 74 games, I believe. Royals Twitter is starting to turn a little bit. I'm seeing a little more negativity. It's not to the level of, like, KU basketball Twitter yet, which is a whole other world that I don't understand. Right. If you look at, like, KU basketball Twitter during a game, KU's either up by 100 or down by 100, and you have no way of knowing which it is. And Royals Twitter hasn't gotten to that point yet, but there is a lot of how much longer do we stick with these guys? And people are calling for, they're calling for action with the management team. And I think that's a lot, man. You know, like, I'm a fan of the game, but I think it's odd to go out there on Twitter and, you know, call for a guy's head on your favorite team. Mm-hmm. But people are getting frustrated, and I understand. But again, I'm still just happy to be watching baseball, dude.
You know, I think a lot of people, a lot of casual fans of the game, saw a great spring training from the Royals, and they saw a great April from the Royals. And I think that kind of attracted to a casual fan. And there was a lot of hype around this Royals team after they had a great spring training and a great month of April. They had the best record in baseball for at least 3 weeks straight. And when things didn't go their way, when they went on the 11-game losing streak, when they kind of played back to 500 and a few games above, and now this long stretch of just a not-so-good streaky team, there's that, okay, where's this team going? Is this a 500 team? But I think a lot of people forget back in February, like, yes, what the front office did building this team out, they don't want to ever say we're not going to try to win. They're trying to win. Even there's still a belief that they can make the playoffs this year, but what is the reality of this team? When you bring up guys like Daniel Lynch or Jackson Kowar and they don't work out, well, now it's okay. Like Cody and Go were talking about this exact same thing yesterday. They said, okay, so when do we say, okay, let's say Danny Duffy comes back. Do we want Danny Duffy to start, or do we want to see a third outing from Kowar? So it's like, then do you send Kowar down and then you mess up with his confidence when you need to build up Kowar this year for him to be ready next year? So, like, at what point do you say, okay, like, we're still going to obviously try to win every single game, but we're trying to build this team for the long term for the next year and the year after, to where we fully believe, like, Ned Yost compared this team to 2013, remember?
Right.
So I don't think, you know, I mean, obviously, I still think they can make the wild card, especially in the second wild card, because the name of it is wild card. You just don't know. I mean, I'm never going to say that Royals are going to miss the playoffs, because you just don't know in this game. But at the same time, I think at some point this season, you're going to start to see the shift to where this Royals team is fully committed on breeding this talent to be ready for the years to come.
Sure. I mean, I don't think anybody's ready to call the season a loss yet, but I think that is something to think about, where, you know, when you find yourself in those games that don't matter as much, or it's not as much of a high leverage situation, do you put a guy in to get him work? Do you put a guy back in to get him confidence? Or when you find a player in a mess, giving up a lot of runs early, do you leave him in and see how he deals with adversity? And I think if you're looking for a study in how guys deal with adversity, I mean, we're seeing that right now. We are scuffling. Do you think that casual fans of baseball don't realize how giant a leap in talent there is from AAA to the major leagues?
Yeah.
I mean, you can
especially
have a guy
this year.
Yeah. You can have a guy absolutely, you know, on either side of the ball, you can have a guy absolutely mashing at the plate and he comes up and can't hit major league pitching. Or you can watch a guy just mow people down at AAA and he comes up and gets shelled all the time, mm-hmm. because there is a massive difference in the level of talent between the two.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm very interested to see how the offense and the pitching changes in the next 2 weeks. Because Jeff Passan of ESPN tweeted last night that the league is supposed to release their memo today about quote-unquote sticky stuff, spider tack, sunscreen, and rosin mixed together. All that stuff is going to be banned, and that's going to be enforced starting, I believe, the 21st of June, so next week. So umpires are going to have to check the gloves and I believe even the arms of these pitchers and hats, all the equipment, multiple times in a game. So that's coming next week. We've seen like the RPM and spin rates just increase massively. But in the last few days and weeks, and all of a sudden that massive RPM and spin rate that a lot of people are talking about, record breaking, right, is going down. So obviously there's no coincidence there. But, you know, Major League Baseball is supposed to announce today that there will be 10-game suspensions and fines to these players that get caught doing so. So what Major League Baseball is basically saying, like, hey, we know you're doing this. You got one more week and to do it or to stop right. doing it. And then after that, we have to enforce the rule. And one more note about this, the people that saying, why are they making this new rule? Why are they doing this now? It's not a new rule. They're just enforcing the rule that's always been in place.
Right, right. I mean, it's always been okay to have a little bit of like rosin and sunscreen on your arm. That's, you know, that's been something that's been okay. I've read a couple of pieces on The Athletic. And if you, this is not a plug for The Athletic, but it might as well be. If you don't subscribe, there's amazing baseball content on there. Even about teams I don't care about, there's just such great writing on there. But I read a couple of pieces about spider tack and did some research. And I watched a video, this is not on The Athletic, but of a handball player using spider tack. And the amount of time that his hand remains in contact with the ball and how much his fingers stick to the ball compared to other sticky substances, it's incredible. He's standing like next to a goal, it's just to his left, and he's flicking the ball out in front of the goal. And he's putting so much spin on the ball that it's bouncing straight back into the back of the net. It's really incredible. So if you think about how much longer players have their fingers in contact with the baseball, it's incredible, man. And then not to ramble, but I saw they're talking about Pedro Martinez and how much spin he put on the ball. And they showed a picture of how flexible his fingers are. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's really wild. It's like he has extra joints in his fingers or something. But it's really fascinating. That's one of the, I think like, it's a weird, like crude technology. You know, you think about like all the things that teams do to get an advantage, you know, all the advanced video scouting, you know, you can go back into the tunnel after an at bat and the video guy can show you the pitches and show you where you swung. And like, you can fix mechanics on the fly. That's cool. I dig all that electronic stuff. But the fact that dudes just have sticky stuff on their hands is impacting the game in such a way, I think, is truly fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I don't put this up to like the Astros scandal. Like when Gerrit Cole was asked that question, I think a fair question, right? The response that Gerrit Cole had, when I literally thought my phone froze, and he was like, I don't know what to say. Like, and people were coming after Cole and saying, well, he's a cheater. Well, it's not just Cole. Like, if you ask every single pitcher, how they use spider tack or sunscreen and rosin, like, it's just that belief, right? And it's the same thing to where, okay, now if it's now June 22nd and Gerrit Cole is using spider tack after Major League Baseball said that, hey, we're going to enforce this, that's a different story. But you can't get mad at a guy that, you know, everyone was doing it to where it just wasn't being enforced.
I mean, I think people have made comparisons to this whole spider tack thing and the steroid era. And I think it's a flawed comparison because spider tack is not an illegal substance. Sure, it might be against the rules in baseball.
It won't affect your health.
Right, yeah. You're not obtaining it through nefarious means. You know, there's not drug dealers involved with spider tack. So I think there's a huge difference there. But you have to wonder, like, a lot of these guys, pardon me, they're around in that era. You look back and you talk to them and they go, man, if I would have known everything that I knew now maybe I would have used steroids. And I think if you're a pitcher who has the opportunity to use spider tack or to use another sticky substance to give you that advantage, if you know other guys are doing it, why wouldn't you do it?
Exactly. You know, I completely agree. And we'll see how it changes the game. If there is a massive increase, I know there's already a 10-point increase in batting average in the last week. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but still, at 10 points in a week is pretty large in my opinion. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But overall, when it comes to the sticky stuff, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, that's for sure. And who's going to be the first pitcher? There's going to be someone that gets suspended and fined. I'm intrigued to see who it is.
Trevor Bauer?
I mean, they've been using him and Gerrit Cole as sort of the two top guys to go after. Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But also, one thing I definitely want to talk about, Danner, is the All-Star game. Voting started just a few days ago, and Salvador Perez already has a 500,000 vote lead or more now. That was it last night. Over the next catcher, which I believe is Grandal with the White Sox. So I think Salvi has a great chance to be an All-Star this year. But the most surprising thing is that Mondesi has more votes than Whit Merrifield.
I'm very confused by this. Yeah. How is that possible?
I'm not sure. Whit Merrifield obviously has not missed a game this season, and Mondesi has played in five, maybe more.
Is it five games? I have to know now. We have to know for sure to look it up, dude. You know,
it might have been three or four.
I was hoping we'd talk about All-Star voting because every year people get mad at me for the way that I vote for the All-Star ballot.
Well, how do you vote?
I vote all Royals every time, and I vote the max amount of times every day, the entire time voting's open, because the Royals are my team, man. Right. And I would love to see every player be Royals on the roster. So I tweeted that out, and the first time I tweeted it, the Royals actually retweeted mine, and I'm like, oh no, here we go. I'm going to get some guys. So I definitely got some hate, but I can remember being a kid sitting in the stands getting the paper ballot with a little golf pencil to poke, and no one lectured me on my solemn duty to, vote with the most integrity possible as a kid. I think it's fun, dude. Years ago, we almost had the entire starting team Royals. Those were the hashtag vote Omar days. I don't know if you remember those. Sure. Yeah, even Omar Infante was going to be an All-Star game starter. And I think they actually made changes to the way the All-Star game voting works because Kansas City fans broke it. But if there's one thing Kansas City people are good at doing, it is supporting other Kansas City people through the stuffing of online ballot boxes. We can wreck any online poll we're given the opportunity to. So I'm gonna vote five times on MLB.com, and I'm gonna take my Google vote as well, and it's gonna be all Royals every time. But yeah, of the guys on our team, who do I think who are legitimate All-Star caliber players? Salvador Perez, no doubt. I mean, I think if he were in a bigger market team, he would be one of the faces of baseball. But I think the fact that he has such a huge lead right now, anyway, shows that he has a bigger reach than we thought he did. Mm-hmm. And then I think Whit Merrifield deserves to be an All-Star as well.
100%. And I just can't believe, I think Andrew Benintendi as well, honestly. Yeah. I think it's just going to be tough for him because it's a crowded outfield. And now with him injured, I don't know if that hurts his case, but I believe Mike Trout is still going to be an All-Star, and he's been hurt since end of May. So, or mid-May now. So, and he won't be back until after the All-Star game. So I'm sure he'll get voted in. And he'll be considered an All-Star because obviously it's Mike Trout. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much that plays into effect. You're still voting for Benintendi, of course. So,
of course, yeah. Mondesi's played in seven games.
Seven games. Okay. I was going to say less than 10, but I was sure. Did he even play in five?
I think the other interesting thing is that we have Nicky Lopez is on the ballot as a designated hitter. And I guess that was, the teams pick who they want on the ballot, right? Is that how it works?
I believe so. I believe so.
So I can see like slating Mondesi as the shortstop position, knowing that that's his job, that's his role. But then, you know, throwing Nicky a bone as the DH, obviously he's not going to get the votes required to make the All-Star game to be the DH in the American League. Right. But I'm going to vote for him every day still.
That's so interesting. Like, I mean, obviously he's been a DH, but like I never see him really as a DH, right? Mm-mm. Like, I got to find that. Like, how many games has Nicky Lopez doesn't it hit?
I don't think he's been the DH. If he has, it's not been more than a couple times. I feel like that's something that would definitely stand out to me.
Man, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Go ahead, dude.
No, you go.
Another thing that I had on my list to talk about was, and this is something that I hate talking about because I don't want it to happen. It would break my heart. I don't think it will happen, but people are starting up the, do we trade Whit Merrifield before the deadline again? And no, we don't. I don't think so. I still think, you know, sure, he's struggling right now, but this isn't who Whit Merrifield is. I still think if we compete in the next few years, Whit Merrifield is the leader of that team. He's the core of that team. He's the fire for that team.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm with that. I think it's too late to trade Whit Merrifield. They should have, if the Royals trade Whit Merrifield now, they should have done it at least 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
at least. And by the way, Nicky Lopez, the last time he was a DH was in 2019.
Crazy. I was thinking maybe you're going to say in high school.
No, 2019, I believe he had like two games as a designated hitter. Huh. So
that's interesting. Yeah. That's something that we need to research and get to the bottom of is who determines who's going to be what on the All-Star ballot.
Yeah. Because that's going to keep me up at night now. It's like, right. Why is Nicky Lopez on the All-Star ballot for a designated hitter and he hasn't been a DH in over 2 years?
Crazy, man.
That's like putting Salvador Perez as a center fielder.
Right, right.
Honestly, it is. Unless that DH could be anyone. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what it is. So, I mean, where's Soler? Is Soler in the outfield? Is that what they're doing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, they've got him in the outfield.
Interesting. Well, I mean, they got an off day on Thursday. Two more mm-hmm. games against the Tigers. So, definitely, I guess now you can't win a division, right? This, or as Pedro Grifol said, you can't win a division this early on, but you can certainly lose one. I don't think anyone's going to catch up with the White Sox, but you don't want the wild card to get so far away from you.
Sure.
They're five games under 500 right now, and you don't want it to sink lower than that.
I mean, we're a team. We had an 11-game losing streak. We've now lost 9 of our last 10. I'm going to say the word only in a situation that doesn't feel right, but given those two things, we're only 10 and a half games back. Mm-hmm. 10 and a half games is a lot. It's hard to make that up, especially if the White Sox continue playing the way they're playing and we continue playing the way we're playing. But that's why these division games are so important. Mm-hmm. We can make up a lot of ground and we should be beating the Tigers and the Twins, and we're not. Like I said, that's what's crazy about baseball is we can go out. We could go out tonight against a struggling pitcher and get no hit. And then next week we could face a former Cy Young winner and put up 15.
The Royals, by the way, listen to this stat. I guess this is a stat we can end the show on. The Royals are the only team to have 2 5-game losing streaks and 2 5-game winning streaks at one point in the season this year.
Yay.
I guess that's I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but it certainly shows that they can win ball games, but they can right. also lose ball games. So it's a streaky team.
Yeah, I think it shows, like, we talked about this at the beginning of the season. Is this who we are or is that who we are? And I think we don't know who we are right now. We're both mm-hmm. of those things at the same time. That's a fun stat. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. It's a roller coaster of a season, that's for sure, Danner.
Yeah, dude. Always is.
When are you going to the next game? Are you got a game coming up?
I've got tickets to the Saturday night game. Okay. In the keep, although I'm thinking about bailing on work and going out to the day game tomorrow. There aren't a ton more day games. I think the next one is in the first week in July. So try to hit the day games when I can. Mike Bob by myself. Do you go to games by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Especially when you sit next to someone that's cool or something.
Yep, yep. I mean, you don't have a kid. So for me, like taking an 8-year-old to ball games this year has been way different than taking a 6-year-old 2 years ago. Mm. So like the difference between 2019 and 2021 is massive. It's so much easier to take them to games. But when I go to games, I can, by myself, I can run to the bathroom. I can run to the bar. I can run back to my seat and not miss anything. And I'm not waiting in line for super pretzels and dollar hot dogs all the time. You know, because people always ask me what's my favorite.
Saves you a lot of money too.
Oh, it does save me a lot of money. Yeah. People ask me what's my favorite thing to eat at the K, and I always say beer. Because I don't eat a lot at the games. I don't know what it is. It's just not my thing. Yeah. And I might eat some snacks, but yeah, I might go out tomorrow and hang out, have a good time by myself.
Yeah. Well, people know who you are there too, so it's not like you're going completely by yourself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Kansas City, it's like a small celebrity town. There. I don't know about that. No. Maybe notable. Is notable the word, or what's the other, infamous, perhaps?
Yeah, you're like a C-grade celebrity in Kansas City.
I'm like Turtle from Entourage.
Well, you're the best, so appreciate you and all the fans listening to the Royals podcast. Send in some questions. We got another surprise interview, hopefully this week or next week, that we'll keep you guys in the loop on social media. But for Danner, I'm Alex Fuse. Thanks for listening to the Believe in Royals podcast. We'll be talking with all of you very soon.